going on, guys? Tonight was the first Monday Night Raw of 2022, and I thought that it would be a great night to do the first episode of our new call-in show before it goes to a members-only feature for channel members here on YouTube. Tonight, though, it is open to everybody. The phone number is on your screen right now. There it is. You'll see it on the ticker down below. The lines are open. It's 989-282-SOLO, 989-282-7656. We're going to do a quick Raw review first. Got to talk about this Monday Night Raw show tonight, and then we're going to open up the phone lines, talk to you guys. Monday Night Raw tonight served one main purpose, and that was to set up the main event for the Royal Rumble. We know Brock Lesnar, new WWE champion after day one on Saturday night, was going to defend that title. The only question was against who. And I was hoping that it was going to be Bobby Lashley, because that was the one match that we have not gotten for whatever reason all the years that these two have crossed paths, have been in WWE together ever since 2018 when Lashley came back. They have not done anything with the two of them. And I can never figure out why that was. And it's funny, you know, the way things work out sometimes, the best laid plans, they go to hell. And we know what happened with Roman Reigns, you know, the positive test, pulled from the pay-per-view. Sometimes things just have a funny way of working out. And I wish all the best to Roman Reigns. In fact, Roman Reigns is going to be back on SmackDown on Friday night. That's the other thing we learned at the end of the show tonight. Because Brock Lesnar is headed to SmackDown to greet Roman Reigns. So they are expecting that he will be back on TV on Friday. But because of the Roman Reigns situation, we ended up in a place where I don't believe WWE had any intention of going, which is Lesnar and Lashley. And tonight, they had a fatal four-way. The match that we were supposed to get on Saturday at day one before it turned into a five-way, Lashley, Big E, Seth Rollins, and Kevin Owens, with the winner going to the Royal Rumble to challenge for the WWE Championship. And the winner of that match tonight was, in fact, Bobby Lashley. And we are finally going to get it one-on-one. The man who went into the pay-per-view on Saturday, Brock Lesnar, did not get a lick of offense in. He didn't lay a finger on Bobby Lashley in terms of, you know, he didn't F5 him. He didn't German suplex him. He didn't destroy him the way that he did everybody else. He left Lashley unscathed. And it looked like that was done for a reason. And it's because we're going to get the one-on-one match. Not only are we going to get one-on-one Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, which is a match that, you know, has a certain appeal to it because I think they also come from similar backgrounds, right? They have the MMA background. We know Lashley's a tough guy. He can handle himself. We know what Brock can do. And Bobby Lashley over the last year has been getting the biggest push of his life. He has been a dominant force on this Monday Night Raw show. So there's the appeal of that. But also, Paul Heyman showed up on Raw tonight, and Paul Heyman is back with Brock Lesnar. Just poof, just like that. Paul Heyman, once again, the advocate for Brock Lesnar, which means we only have a few weeks. But over these next 3 weeks or so, 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to hopefully have some promo battles on TV. We're going to get to see Heyman and MVP as well, be part of this program. In fact, they're probably going to have to carry the lion's share of this. I don't know how many Raw appearances Brock Lesnar is going to be making. It would be something if he was on TV every week. So I am a big, big fan of them doing this match at the Royal Rumble. And I have a funny feeling I know exactly how it's going to play out, which we'll talk about. But unless I miss something, now, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I looked away. Maybe I sneezed and I looked up and I missed it. But I don't believe that Veer came this week. Did anybody see Veer? We've been seeing the promos now on television every week for about, I don't know, 4 months now, 3-4 months probably. Veer is coming. Every week we're told Veer is coming. Veer is coming. There was no Veer. I guess Veer has come. I guess Veer came. I don't know. Maybe it's all just one big swerve, and Veer is going to come to SmackDown after telling us all these weeks that he's coming to Raw. Maybe he'll show up on Friday night. Anyway, I am the Solo Monster. Thank you so much for joining me tonight for your Monday Night Raw coverage. I do not usually go live for Raw, so this is a a bonus show in a very busy week, because tomorrow, in fact, in just a few hours here, it is the beginning of Wrestle Kingdom Night 1 from the Tokyo Dome. It's only a few hours away. I think it starts 2 a.m., I believe, 2 or 3 in the morning, East Coast time. And I'm going to be live tomorrow night for NXT New Year's Evil coverage. As soon as that show goes off the air, Wednesday night is the first TBS episode of AEW Dynamite with the big Hangman Page, Bryan Danielson world title rematch. So it's a lot going on this week. I hope you guys will stick with me for all of your coverage here on YouTube. Super chats are open. I will be reading those a little bit later, not just the phone calls. We'll do super chats if any more of them come in. We've got two new ones listed down below. This is the 30th anniversary this month of the 1992 Royal Rumble. And so one of the new super chats is a new 1992 super chat. So you can find those down below. But the beginning of this Raw show tonight, we had a blackout. The lights went out in the building. Came back on. There was Paul Heyman looking very orange. He looked like something out of The Wizard of Oz. One of those little orange dudes. What were they called? The Munchkin Men? Boy, he went to town on that self-tanner. But Paul Heyman, maybe he was jaundiced. Maybe he's sick. I don't know. But Paul Heyman, a very Hogan-esque orange goblin version of Paul Heyman, was standing in the middle of the ring. And he was out there to introduce Brock Lesnar. And so just like that, without any initial explanation, they at least did make the effort to have Brock explain why they were back together. But there he was. Yeah, Oompa Loompa, thank you. I couldn't remember for a second. Heyman was out there looking like an Oompa Loompa. So the Oompa Loompa introduced Brock Lesnar, and he comes out with the WWE title. Lesnar throws the ring steps into the ring. He stands on them like his pedestal, like he just won gold at the Olympics. And he looks into the camera and clearly directing a message to Roman Reigns, he says, "Acknowledge me." And he calls himself the one true champion. Thank Paul Heyman for advocating for his free agency, which allowed him to even compete for the WWE Championship. He thanked Paul Heyman for advocating for pulling whatever strings he pulled behind the scenes to get him into the match on Saturday at Day One. So they at least attempted to offer some kind of an explanation for why Brock Lesnar was entered into the WWE title match at the pay-per-view. Paul Heyman took the mic from Brock, and this was an interesting promo. Heyman, this was almost like a Dan Lambert promo. What I mean by that is Dan Lambert on AEW has a tendency to talk really, 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 really fast and not stop, right? He's just constantly regurgitating stuff, and you almost don't even have a chance to process what he's saying. It felt like, and it sounded like, Heyman was sort of speed reading this promo because he had a lot of shit to get to and just didn't take a breath, went through the whole thing, and he opened the promo, and one of the things he said, he goes, "Well, since I'm not a special counsel anymore for the tribal chief," he goes, "you know, Roman Reigns," basically the implication being Roman Reigns can't survive without him. He goes, case in point, 1 week goes by where he's not the tribal chief and the special counsel, I should say, for the tribal chief. And Roman Reigns has COVID. See what happens? He fires Paul Heyman. Roman has COVID. He misses Day One. The man has a point. So Heyman ran down the names of all four men in the main event tonight, all four potential challengers to Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble. Kind of glossed over Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. He put them together like a package deal. Not much of a threat. But then he got to Bobby Lashley. And he put over Bobby Lashley in a very big way. He pointed out that Saturday was the first time that he and Lesnar ever met. For all these years, they haven't even passed each other in the hallway. They haven't said word one. They haven't shook hands. Nothing. Saturday was the first time that these two had any interaction together at all whatsoever. And the very first time that Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar touched was when Bobby Lashley speared Brock Lesnar through the barricade at ringside. And then later on, he put Brock Lesnar in the Hurt Lock. And he says, "I even told Brock that had Big E not broken things up, it looked like there was no way out for Brock Lesnar." So he really was putting over Lashley in a big way. But he also put over Big E. which almost had to happen because Big E came out of this looking like, you know, less than. And that's just the way it goes. I mean, you know, you get bumped, you lose your spot, but you can at least, you know, give the guy something. And so they put him over, and Heyman was very complimentary of Big E, and he called him the odds-on favorite in the main event tonight, and he said that he was a great champion. He's a great champion. And it was interesting because Bleacher Report, the wrestling Bleacher Report Twitter page, I think earlier this morning, posted something that said, it was something along the lines of, like, what a run, or what a great championship run for Big E. And I cringed when I saw that, because I would love to know what they were watching that I wasn't. It was not a great championship reign for Big E. I think Big E represented the company very well. He did a lot of extracurricular stuff and PR stuff, and he made different appearances. He was a great representative, a great spokesperson for the company. And he did have a few good matches. He had a great match with Roman Reigns, even, at the Royal Rumble. Didn't go his way. There were a lot of matches, actually, that did not go his way. He lost quite a few matches on television and on pay-per-view as the WWE champion. But through no fault of his own, it was not a great championship run. Years from now, when we look back at the first WWE title run, maybe the only WWE title run for Big E, nobody is going to look back at that reign and go, man, that's one of the better title reigns that I've seen in the last decade. I remember this match and that match and that match and that match and this moment and that moment. Nobody is going to say that. Because it was not a memorable reign. It was not even a memorable way that he won the championship. It was an angle on Raw that they did. They could have made it a bigger deal, and they didn't. And so from the very first day he won the title, it was really not positioned as anything special. So nobody is going to be looking back on this and calling this one of the better WWE title reigns. This is one of the more forgettable ones. And I do. I feel bad for Big E. Not his fault. So the way the booking went, and then the situation on Saturday was such that if Roman Reigns did not go down to the Rona, Big E would still be the WWE champion right now. I do believe that. But it didn't go his way. But let's not pretend that it was some kind of great legendary championship reign that people are going to be talking about years from now. They're not. And you're fooling yourself if you think so. But Paul Heyman took it upon himself to put over Big E and call him a great champion, a worthy champion. It would be an honor to step into the ring with you at the Royal Rumble. The crowd during this segment seemed confused. They weren't really reacting a lot. A lot of piped-in noise during the show. I mean, this is the standard thing now for WWE every week. You know, even when Heyman and Lesnar came out, you know, there were people cheering, but there was like a really loud cheers, and it wasn't really showing on screen. You didn't see people jumping up and down going crazy for Brock Lesnar. So this is an every-week thing now where they're piping in boos and they're piping in cheers. But there was a lot of indifference. People didn't know how to react because you had Lesnar out there who's been portrayed as a babyface on TV. Heyman has been a heel. So I don't think the people in the building knew whether or not they should cheer or boo, because Heyman is this slimy advocate that they've seen on television now for months. But then all of a sudden, with the flip of a switch, he's with this guy who people have been cheering. So is Heyman a face or is Brock a heel? It's almost like they didn't quite know how to react to this. But what I also thought was interesting was Lesnar had that line at the beginning when he was talking about Roman Reigns, about how I'm the one true champion, right? He mentioned that I'm the one legitimate champion, the one true champion. And it was interesting because it sort of, and I think this was done on purpose, sort of teases the unification idea. And a lot of people have been talking about it, but we were talking about it on the review on Saturday night. I was pitching that as one potential idea. I talked about it again on Sunday on the podcast. Could they go the unification route? Brock Lesnar is the WWE champion. Roman Reigns is the Universal champion. Champion against champion, winner take all at WrestleMania. Either end the brand split or keep the brand split, have one champion. Would they have the guts to go down that road? The answer is no, by the way. I don't see that happening. They're teasing it with that line. They sort of tease the possibility that it could happen, but no, I don't see them going down that road. Josh Vlogs just became a Sound Off superstar. Welcome to the family, my friend. He is now a channel member. Welcome aboard. So if they're not going to do that, then what are they going to do? What was seemingly obvious to me, and it should be obvious to a lot of you, as far as where this is going, is the same exact route that I thought they were taking on Saturday. I said it in my predictions. I'll say it again now. I think we were heading to Paul Heyman being revealed to be in cahoots with the Bloodline. Paul Heyman is still with Roman Reigns, and he is still with the Usos. And he was likely going to cost Brock Lesnar his match at Day One. Things happened. Brock Lesnar is suddenly the WWE champion, and we're going to get Brock Lesnar against Bobby Lashley at the Royal Rumble. Heyman and Lesnar, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, are being all chummy-chummy. And now the stage is set for what I think is going to happen, which is that when we get to the Rumble and we get Lesnar against Lashley, Paul Heyman is going to do what he did to Brock Lesnar at the Survivor Series 20 years ago this year, which is that he is going to turn on Brock Lesnar. He is going to cost Brock Lesnar the WWE title in his match. Bobby Lashley is going to walk out of the Royal Rumble with that championship. And before that night is over, Brock Lesnar is going to end up in the men's Royal Rumble match. He is going to win the Royal Rumble, and he is going to go to WrestleMania and challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal title. Because that issue is not yet resolved. Brock is going to SmackDown on Friday, in fact, to confront Roman. So we know we're getting Lesnar and Roman. It's got to be either the Saudi Arabia show, if there is one next month, or WrestleMania. How do you get there? How do you keep things interesting? You go with the Heyman swerve. So I don't think they're going to deviate from the original plan, and I think that's what we're going to get at the Royal Rumble. That's how I see it going down. In fact, there was a report I saw earlier that WWE is forging ahead with its plans for WrestleMania. So whatever their plan was for Roman Reigns and for Brock Lesnar, they're sticking with it. So again, that's why I think what we're going to get at the Rumble, we were going to see on Saturday, nothing really changes. They're going to get to the same destination. It might just take a little bit longer, but they're going to get to the same place. That's how I see things playing out. We had Randy Orton and Matt Riddle taking on the Alpha Academy. Riddle tried for an RKO on Otis, but he stuffed the attempt and hit the World's Strongest Slam for the win and set themselves up now for a future tag team title match. This is what they do now. This is what they do now with their champions on TV. They beat their champions almost every week. Champs are chumps. We see champions being pinned left and right. Championship contenders matches. That's their new fetish. Championship contenders matches every week. So you put your champions in the ring and they lose, and then you bring it back. You run the match back again. You give us the rematch. This is the formula now. The reason that they do this is because they don't have enough teams. If they had a healthy roster of tag teams on Monday Night Raw or on SmackDown, which they don't, there would be no need for championship contenders matches. But when you have no teams, this is what you end up with. We were just talking about this the other night. Who are the teams? Who are the teams on Monday Night Raw right now? They just beat the Street Profits. You've got Rey and Dominic, who were just beaten by the Street Profits to even get that match at Day One, so they kind of cancel each other out. You've got the Dirty Dogs, right? Big Bob and Dolph Ziggler. Oh boy, yeah, well, great tag team title contenders right there. Alpha Academy won. They're going to have a shot. Who else? Who else is there? Who else is there? There is nobody. Although I have an idea. I do have a sense of what the tag team title match might be at WrestleMania this year. I'll save that for the end. But that was the segment. Not really anything else to it. We had a 24/7 mixed tag team match with Dana Brooke and Reggie against Tamina and Tozawa. All four of them hit the ring, and as soon as both teams are out there, they cut to commercial. So we get 3.5 minutes of commercials. We come back. The match didn't even go the length of the commercial break. The commercial break was longer by a lot than the actual match was. Not that I'm complaining about that. the shorter the better with this 24/7 shit. In fact, if you took it off the show completely, I wouldn't mind, because it has no business being on the show anymore. It is so played out. It is so played out. I am almost stunned. I'm not really, because these people aren't that creative, but I'm almost stunned that this 24/7 thing has gone on for so long and they haven't made any attempt whatsoever to innovate or freshen it up in some way. Or, you know, they do these on location things occasionally with Reggie and he's jumping around and stuff. But like, typically it's just the same shit where they'll have a match. It's over in 30 seconds, or you have the running brigade of morons who run through the building, the parade of jabrones, right? And they run to the back, or they run into the crowd. It's like they just, oh, 24/7, let's just send them out there. We can't come up with any new ideas. When you reach the point where you have no new ideas for a certain angle, you end it. You end it. That's it. I mean, it's sad to see them just run this stuff out there and the crowd is sitting on their hands and nobody cares. Nobody cares. Go back and watch the match again. It won't take you very long. Nobody cares. Dana Brooke is the 24/7 champion. It's no wonder nobody cares. But nobody cared when Reggie had it. Nobody cared when any of these people had it. This 24/7 shit absolutely fucking sucks. Tozawa kicked Tamina by accident when Reggie avoided a boot. Tamina smacked her partner. Reggie followed with a flipping senton. Corey Graves called it a whoopee cushion. Doink would be offended by that. But that's basically what it was, I suppose. And that was the end of that. We move on. Nothing else to say about this. Becky Lynch came to the ring for a promo. Big Time Bex. Big Time Bex. Boy, they're really trying to get that name over. Big Time Bex. So she said she had some time to reflect, and she realized that she is a work of art. She referred to herself as a work of art. Called herself Vincent Van Gogh. Said that Liv Morgan broke her promise to the fans and to herself. That brought out Liv Morgan, the loser from Saturday. Liv said Becky knew just how close she came to winning the championship, and she said she always gave it her all, and that's what she did at day one. Oh, she gave it her all, everybody. She gave it her all. You know what? Just give her another shot. Because she gave it her all. Everybody gets a participation trophy now in this company. She came close. Let's give her another shot. Why not? So she is addressing Becky Lynch, and she says that, well, actually, Becky said that that's nice and all. Maybe you'll win the title one day, but that won't be until after I'm retired. That brought out Bianca Belair. And I was scared here because I thought, okay, these two should not be interacting until after the Royal Rumble, because that should be the WrestleMania match. Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair. Why is Bianca coming out now? She says she was sick of hearing from Becky and she wasn't buying all the hype. She said that she stepped aside for a while to deal with Doudrop, and now that's over and she wants her belt back. So Becky didn't seem very interested in that, and she made the suggestion that Bianca and Liv Morgan start a support group for people who have lost to her. She realized that it already existed, and it was called the Women's Locker Room. And Liv said, oh, she's very surprised to hear Becky mention the Women's Locker Room, seeing as how she has not seen the inside of it in many years. And I think that was designed to get more of a reaction than it did. It didn't get too much of a reaction. So Becky suggested that Liv and Bianca had an issue between them. You guys address it. And the two of them each gave a look at each other. They tossed Becky out of the ring, and then they started brawling. So we got a brawl between Bianca and Liv Morgan. She was about to give Liv the KOD. Becky knocked him down, took Bianca down with a manhandle slam. Liv Morgan, who I have praised before, Liv Morgan has improved, and Liv Morgan has cut some of the better promos I've ever heard her cut in her career. She's gotten more TV time. She had a couple of championship matches now. Liv Morgan is a two-time loser. She's a loser on TV. She comes out in this segment And she talks about how I came close and you knew I was so close to beating you. But it doesn't matter how close she came. That's the second time now that she has lost to Becky Lynch, and it was a fair win. You know, the first time Becky was using the ropes, Saturday, Becky went to go put her foot on the bottom rope and couldn't do it. She botched the finish. And they even pointed it out on the replay on commentary. Like, oh, she tried, but that was a clean win. Doesn't matter how close you came. That should be the end of it. Now, later in the show, there was a segment in the back with Doudrop. Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville were in the back, and Doudrop interrupted them, and she was very upset. And she was talking about Bianca, and she was talking about Liv. They go out there, and they're talking about challenging for the championship again, and this is ridiculous. Why do they get a shot? What about me? I should be next in line. And she's complaining about that. And by the way, part of me wanted to agree with her and say, oh, Doudrop is making great points. But this is what happens when you give losers on this show, you feed them title shot after title shot after title shot. You get another loser like Doudrop, who lost three matches in a row to Bianca Belair. Now, they were all very good matches. I enjoyed the matches they had on TV. But she lost three times to Bianca Belair. Doudrop is the last person who should be coming out demanding a title match. But why not? If Bianca's out there and Liv is out there and they both have lost to Becky Lynch, you know what? If I'm Doudrop, yeah, give me one too. Give me one too. At least with Bianca Belair, you've got the built-in story going back to SummerSlam last year where, you know, she was blindsided by everything, 26 seconds, she got pinned, and since then, Becky has not pinned her, you know, clean. I mean, they've had a couple of matches, a couple of times they've been in the ring together, Crown Jewel. So, but at least you have, you know, you have that story there. Sonya Deville booked the triple threat match for next week. And I breathed a sigh of relief, because I thought we were getting a triple threat of the Royal Rumble. And I said, what are you doing? Why are you putting Becky and Bianca in the ring together now? But what they're doing in Philly on Raw next week is they're going to do Liv Morgan, Bianca Belair, and Doudrop. And the winner of that match will go on to the Royal Rumble to challenge Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship. So, yeah, I look at this, and we know it's not Doudrop, right? They're not going to do heel against heel. So it's not going to be Doudrop against Becky at the Rumble. Forget about that. It's going to be Bianca, or it's going to be Liv Morgan. I would rather they save Bianca for WrestleMania. And you do Becky against Bianca at WrestleMania. So, you know, that would leave only one option here. But, you know, as I look at this match and how things could potentially play out, you know, unless they have something bigger planned for WrestleMania, if they want to do Bianca and Becky at the Rumble because they've got another idea in mind. Now, Alexa Bliss was brought up on the show tonight. We've not heard her name mentioned in a few months, ever since Charlotte ripped up the doll and the stuffing out of Lucy the doll. Was it Lucy, right? Lucy the doll? Lucy or Lily, whatever the fuck that doll's name was. She ripped the stuffing out of it, and she had this nervous breakdown, did Alexa, and she was crying in the middle of the ring. And we haven't seen her. We haven't heard from her since. Tonight, they mentioned later on in the show that there's going to be a segment next week called Alexa's Journey Back to Raw. And the way they previewed this and the way they described this, I don't believe Alexa Bliss is going to be on the show next week physically. I think it's just going to be like a video package or something. But they're already building now to the return of Alexa Bliss. Could they be clearing the way for an Alexa Bliss redemption story? Maybe she's going to ditch that character and go back to the old Alexa Bliss. Would they do Alexa Bliss against Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's title of WrestleMania? I don't know about you. That's not a match that I would rather see over Becky and Bianca. Even though we've seen Becky and Bianca before, I want that match to play out at WrestleMania, not Becky Lynch against Alexa Bliss. I know all the Alexa fans are not going to like that, but that, to me, does not seem to be the way to go for WrestleMania. But if she's on her way back, and they're already building it up, it's It's got to be a good possibility. Or, the only other thing I could think of, if there's something bigger in mind that they have in store for Becky Lynch, the only other thing I could think of, I guess there's two other possibilities, but the one I was thinking of was Ronda Rousey. We haven't heard her name mentioned. They have a history together. We never did get that one-on-one match between Becky and Ronda. Could Ronda Rousey be sprung on us for a WrestleMania match against Becky Lynch? There is one other name that also hasn't been mentioned, and you start seeing her pop up on screen here a few times every time we get a new subscriber, is Asuka. Asuka's been out for a long time. Asuka's been out for many months. Last time I saw her, she had a cast on her arm, on her hand, her wrist. She had some kind of injury, surgery. I don't know if she's still hurt. I don't know when she's going to be back. If you remember, when Becky went away, when she announced that she was pregnant, she presented Asuka with a Raw Women's Championship. She basically was the one to hand the belt to her and say, well, when you won Money in the Bank, you won the belt because I have to go home. And so maybe now they come back to that and Asuka sees this attitude change in Becky Lynch and they want to get back and they want to do Becky against Asuka. So there's a few different potential avenues for them to go down here. I just think after what happened to Bianca at SummerSlam, the 26-second debacle, you rectify that by running it back and having her beat Becky Lynch straight up, end this ridiculous streak of Becky Lynch being a champion every single day since WrestleMania 3 years ago, and Bianca's the one to put her down, and then you move on from there. So for the Royal Rumble, it may well be Liv Morgan. They may be going to Liv and Becky for a third time at the Royal Rumble. That's probably what it's going to be. That's probably what I would prefer, just because you save the Bianca one. And there's no way Doudrop is winning. So it may well be a third match with Liv Morgan. I just don't see the point. I just don't see the point of it anymore. Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash, speaking of things that I don't see the point to anymore, challenging Carmella and Queen Zelina for the Raw Tag Team titles, or Women's Tag Team paperweights, as I call them. This was more of an angle than a match. It went 2 minutes. Corey Graves on commentary was selling the story that Nikki is the weak link for her team. There she is. There's Asuka. Look how happy she is. Yeah, I don't know what her injury status is. I should probably look into that and see where she is. I haven't been following her on social media. Is Rhonda still pregnant? Is she? I thought she had her child. Is she still pregnant? Well, then I guess that's out the window. I thought for some reason, I thought she already had her child. But if she's pregnant, then I guess that takes her off the table. So then we probably are looking at Alexa Bliss or Bianca Belair for Becky Lynch or WrestleMania. Well, you know which one I would prefer. But Corey Graves was selling the story that Nikki is the weak link for her team, which she is. Zelina got out of a fireman's carry attempt, rolled up, and pinned Nikki. So they are telling the story that Nikki is just a complete fuck-up. She just can't get out of her own way. And this is either building to Nikki snapping or Rhea Ripley snapping and saying, you know what, you're dead weight. I don't need you anymore. And she goes heel, and the team breaks up. Either way, it seems like we're headed for a breakup. It can't come a day too soon. For Rhea Ripley, it cannot come a day too soon. They have to start thinking about getting her ready to challenge for the championship coming out of WrestleMania. They have to start setting up some new challengers for whoever it's going to be, whether it's Bianca or whoever, or Becky, coming out of WrestleMania. So maybe they're building to Rhea against Nikki at WrestleMania, but the sooner this angle ends, the better. The only question is, does Nikki snap and go heel, or does Rhea get tired of her losing, and Rhea is the one who goes heel? I would prefer Rhea go heel. I think she lost her edge with this babyface bullshit that they've had her doing. I think exactly what she needs is to go heel. They replayed the Johnny Knoxville video announcing that he will be in the Royal Rumble match. Street Profits declared themselves for the Rumble, as did Rey and Dominic Mysterio. So now we know some of the spots that are going to be occupied by people who have absolutely no chance of winning the Royal Rumble. But they are in the Rumble. Street Profits took on Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz. Yet another quick match. Aziz had Dawkins up on the floor. Dawkins slipped out, shoved him into the ring post. Back inside, he slammed Crews down to the mat. Up went Montez Ford, hit a gigantic frog splash. I mean, this guy's in another stratosphere when he goes airborne for that splash. Lands on Apollo Crews for the win. Up to this point in the show, not a single match had gone longer than 3 minutes. So, if Monday Night Raw is the kind of show you watch to at least get, maybe half the show you think you're going to get a lot of great wrestling, tonight was not your night. You got some good wrestling in the main event. That was about all you got. Damian Priest against Dolph Ziggler. And here's something. I actually enjoyed this. I actually thought this was good. And this went maybe about 8 or 9 minutes. Dolph Ziggler challenging Damian Priest for the United States Championship. If Damian Priest loses his cool and he loses the match by either countout or disqualification, Dolph Ziggler would become the new United States Champion, because that's the only chance Dolph Ziggler has of becoming the United States Champion. This was actually really good, I thought, especially those near falls at the end. I thought this was actually very good. Ziggler had the referee distracted, which allowed Big Bob, who was at ringside, to shove Damian Priest off the top rope. So he goes down. Ziggler hits the Famouser. Good near fall. Priest gets up. He decks Ziggler, and he makes eye contact with Bobby Roode on the outside. And Priest gets the crazy eyes, which is his whole gimmick now, right? He goes, oh, it's the crazy eye. The big eyes bug out of his head. He looks like he's going to snap and murder 15 people. So he exits the ring. He goes outside, and he attacks Roode, and he grabs a chair, and he's about to destroy this guy. He's about to lay waste to this guy with the chair. And then he realizes the referee's count is up to 7. And the referee's count is up to 8. And he realizes that if he doesn't get back in the ring, he's going to lose his championship. So he takes the chair with him and he gets into the ring. And Ziggler is on his knees. And he's begging Damian Priest to hit him with the chair. He's screaming at this guy. He's saying, hit me, hit me, hit me. He's paying poker. Hit me. And Damian Priest, because that's the only way. He's a loser, right? And that's the only way he's going to win the championship. If somebody gets disqualified, then he'll win the title. He's smart enough to realize that. So, of course, he's willing to take a chair shot unprotected to the skull if that's what it takes to win this championship. And Damian Priest does not fall victim to dumb babyface syndrome in this match. He does not take the bait. Instead, he chucks the chair at Rude's head, knocks him off the apron. Ziggler, with the distraction, hits the zigzag, and we got another great near fall. And the fans were reacting to it. The fans were into it. So I should give them credit. The way that this was laid out, this actually played out very, very well. I thought this was an entertaining finish to this match here. Ziggler tried a super kick. Priest countered into the Reckoning for the win. I didn't care for this match coming in, but again, I will give them credit for the way those final few minutes played out. There was some good drama there, some good near falls, and I thought this ended up being a good match. So in the back, Austin Theory approached Vince McMahon, who was in his office, and he apologized for interrupting Vince, and then Vince gave him a hard time for apologizing and said that, apologizing is a sign of weakness. You don't apologize. People don't really mean it when they say that. This is a very weird segment. I mean, anything these days with Vince McMahon on camera is very weird. But this was a very weird segment. The way that they shot this, it was like a multi-camera shoot. All right, everybody else pick up on that. It's like Vince said, look, if you're going to shoot me, you got to shoot me with this camera from this angle to make me look good. So that was a little weird. Vince, some of the things he says now, where he's like, people, when they apologize, they don't really mean it, right? He sounds like Larry David. Are they trying to turn Vince McMahon into Larry David? Are they using Vince McMahon in a Larry David-like role on this show? I don't know what they're doing here. But anyway, he tells Austin Theory to sit down, and he surprises Theory by telling him that you are going to be in the Royal Rumble match. which means if you win the Rumble, you could go on to challenge for the championship at WrestleMania. And Austin Theory is his big smile on his face. He's speechless. He doesn't know what to say. And that was the entire segment. The other thing about Vince McMahon in this segment, and this seems to be the case every week, but they like really zoomed in on his face this time. His eyes were all red. You notice that? He looked like he had pink eye in both eyes. Either that or the wax was just melting into his eye sockets. I don't know. It was one or the other. It's very strange. So Miz and Maryse were up next. They came out. Miz and Maryse come to the ring. And Miz talks about how he was one skull-crushing finale away from beating Edge at day one. Talked about how he wanted respect from the Edge of old, not this new Edge. This new Edge who hides behind his wife. What kind of man hides behind his wife, right? Says the guy who literally put his wife in front of him as a human shield on TV a few weeks ago. So that was the irony of it. And Maryse talked for a little bit, and she says, you know, if Beth Phoenix were here tonight, I would punch her in the face. So you knew what this was leading to. They played her music on time this time. Cue the Glamazon. Out comes Beth Phoenix. And thank God they played her music this time so she actually could walk. She wasn't paralyzed in the aisleway making mean faces. She was able to actually walk out and make a normal entrance. She stopped. Her husband came out. Edge and Beth Phoenix walked to the ring together. Edge says, look, I didn't ask my wife to come out and do what she did. I didn't ask my wife to fight my battles for me. And Beth Phoenix got on the mic and said, he's right. It was my idea. What you saw day one was my idea. I hope that entrance wasn't her idea. But her being at day one, she says, was her idea. And Edge proposed an idea. He said, what if I team up with Beth to take on you and Maryse? And we can do it at the Royal Rumble. And I breathed a sigh of relief because that meant they're not going to drag this out 3 more months until WrestleMania. Thank God. Miz accepted, which Maryse was not happy about because he didn't even consult her before accepting the challenge. And Beth kind of cocked her fist as if she was going to throw a punch and Maryse fell down. She was scared. They did the same thing with Edge and Miz and I think their first segment together on TV at the beginning of their feud. So that was a little callback there. But praise the wrestling gods. We don't have to wait until WrestleMania, which means Edge will hopefully move on to something more interesting than this in April. Big E was in the back, and he was being interviewed by Kevin Patrick. First time we saw Big E all night after losing the WWE Championship at day one. And I was wondering, coming into the show, I said, are we going to get happy, jolly Big E doing all of his gyrations and everything else that he always does? Because how many times have we seen champions do this in the past where they lose their title, but then they're on television the next night and they got a big smile on their face and it's like no big deal. It's like nothing ever happened. And I'm happy to say that was not the case tonight with Big E. Big E looked serious. He looked like he was not in a very good mood, which he shouldn't be. And he said, being the WWE champion meant a lot to me and it meant a lot to a lot of people, which it did. You saw the reaction when Big E won that title? I mean, there were people from all over the world. Celebrities, fellow wrestlers, people in other companies who just were flooding Big E on social media with love when he won that title. See, he knows it meant a lot to a lot of people. He said, you know, there's no shame in losing to Brock Lesnar. But we don't wallow in self-pity. We pick ourselves up, we move on. Tonight, I have a chance to right the wrongs and start my path back to regaining my championship. And he said this with more fire than I'm saying it with right now. I like that. It's sad that I even have to say that. It should just be a given that when somebody loses the world title, they come out on television and they're not very happy about it and they want their belt back. So many times, though, that doesn't happen anymore. So to see Big E for a change when he's usually all happy-go-lucky, you know, look as if something is actually bothering him and something has actually angered him, I'm glad that they did the right thing because it would have been ridiculous for him to come out there and you know, be doing anything else or acting any other way. So I like the fire from him here in this segment. We got the match originally scheduled in the main event this week for the pay-per-view on Saturday. Fatal four-way. The right to challenge Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship at the Royal Rumble, which is later this month. Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Big E. Actually, before I skipped over one match. I was ready for the main event here. I skipped over the AJ Styles match. I think I'm trying to block it out of my mind here. We actually got AJ Styles and Omos this week after not getting it last week. I don't know what happened with Omos. We were supposed to get the match last Monday. He had wrestled AJ at Madison Square Garden that weekend, and then he went home. So maybe it was COVID, maybe it was something else, who knows. But we got the match this week. And this was not a good match. This was not a good showing for Omos. I almost wish we did not get the match. He looked really tentative out there. He caught AJ with a big boot. He whipped him across the ring, and AJ went out to the floor. Styles eventually regained the advantage, briefly, and he went for the phenomenal forearm. Omos swatted him out of midair with one hand and then hit back-to-back slams, tree slams, and pinned him. Clean as a sheet in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. And that was the end for AJ Styles. And I just wrote one word here. Yikes. Yikes. Not that I was surprised they would want to put Omos over. I didn't think AJ was going to beat Omos clean. But watching this match as short, but as not good as it was, and then AJ just, you know, do the JOB clean in the middle like that after such a match like this that even he couldn't save. Yikes. This was not a strong way to send AJ to NXT tomorrow night. AJ Styles is paying a visit to Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller is going to be on NXT New Year's Evil tomorrow night, and AJ Styles is paying him a visit. They won't say that they're having a match, only that he is paying him a visit. Like I said on the podcast, like he's going to grandma's house tomorrow night. He's going to pay him a visit. I hope he brings a nice little fruit basket with him. This was not a very good way for AJ to be heading into the NXT zone. What do they even call that building anymore? It used to be the CWC, but you can't call it that anymore. We have to come up with a name for that NXT 2.0 arena there. The NXT zone, it sounds very generic. We need some other name. It has to match the colors and the whole vibe of the show, right? It's supposed to be a very youthful, hip, cool vibe to NXT. So what can we call the NXT arena there at the Performance Center? Spit some names out at me and we'll see if any of them stick. Look, they're trying to get the big guy over. We know that. We know they're trying to give him the big monster push right now. Even The Undertaker once did the clean job to the great Khali and his brain chop in the middle of the ring. Not only did he do the clean job once to the brain chop, but he did a clean job to a power slam on SmackDown against Vladimir Kozlov. Because Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and these guys, when they see a big guy, they say we're going to give him a big monster push. And more often than not, they either get bored and they move on to the next one, or the person just isn't very good. And that's the category that Omos falls into. And part of it is his inexperience, right? He's still relatively new to all this. Is he going to get there one day? Probably not. Based on everything I have seen from him in the ring, I mean, you lead him through a few basic spots and he can do the basic stuff. He can do the basics. But like when I heard Undertaker make those comments a couple of months back where he said, Omos is the closest thing that we have to Andre the Giant. Unless you are literally just saying that because of his literal size, in which case, yes, he might actually have been legitimately a little bit taller even than Andre the Giant. I don't think that's how he meant it, though. That was that was a shocking comment for me to hear, that The Undertaker would say something like that, because I think that's fucking ridiculous. But Omos can be led through very basic spots. But that's it. He can't do anything more than that, and he can't talk. So this idea that we're going to push him and that one day he's going to be this massive star, he's not. It's just not going to happen. He'll be able to do the things that we see him trying to do now, what is an Omos match in 3 years look like? Does it really look radically different than what we're seeing now? He's limited anyway on what he can do with being that big. But that's not going to stop them from trying to give him the monster push and have him steamroll over people like AJ Styles. Now, AJ Styles, like The Undertaker, losing to those guys, AJ Styles is going to be fine. It's not like he's buried. The guy is Teflon. He's built up enough equity in this business where losing to a stiff like Omos is not the end of AJ Styles. But he's going to flame out just like those guys did as far as this push is concerned. This push is going to flame out just like it always does. So you give it a few months and I guarantee you, it's not as if Omos is going to be a staple of the main event scene in this company. He certainly won't be if he's as limited as he looks in the ring right now. He's not ready for that spot. He's another one they put on TV way too soon. They have a developmental system. They have a performance center down in Orlando where he used to be when he first came in. That's where he should still be. He should not be on TV getting the big monster push because his skill set doesn't match the push that they're about to give him. Now we get to the main event. Again, I was eager to get to this because this was the best part of the entire show. Fatal 4-Way for the right to challenge Lesnar. As I said, Lashley, Owens, Rollins, and Big E. The original plan for the Fatal 4-Way on Sunday, before everything got blown to smithereens, was for that main event to go about 30 minutes. This did not go 30 minutes, but I still thought it was a very good match. Owens and Rollins worked together to put Big E through the announce table, and they also took out Lashley. In fact, Owens did the frog splash off the ring apron to Lashley on the floor, just like he did to Brock in the Fatal 5-Way on Saturday. Big E and Lashley, after they recovered, they got sick of being double-teamed by these two fools, and they were standing side-by-side in the ring, and Owens and Rollins looked at each other, and they headed for the hills. And so all four men, they ran into the crowd, up the stairs, up onto the concourse, and the cameras followed them, and Big E gave Owens a uranage through one of the merchandise tables, and as soon as he did that, they cut to another commercial break. And when we came back from commercial, three of the four men were back in the ring, but then they quickly exited and went right back into the crowd, and they're brawling towards one of the tunnels to the back, and they're kind of all bunched up like they're crowding around each other. And then I realized Kevin Owens wasn't there. And I said, well, if they're all clustered together like that, he must be coming from above. And sure enough, the camera panned up and up in the little balcony up there was Kevin Owens. He hit a senton, took everybody out. Back in the ring, Owens hit another senton off the top and onto Big E. And Rollins immediately followed that with a frog splash. And he went for the pin, and Owens, instead of breaking up the pin, because remember, the winner of this match is going to challenge for the WWE Championship, and Seth Rollins is the one who got the contract a couple of months ago and was talking about how it should have been me one-on-one against Big E. You know, he's about to win the championship, and Owens is cheering him on. He doesn't even try to break it up. Owens is really trying to be this guy's friend. He's clapping. He's cheering for him. It's like he's happy that Seth is about to win the match at the Royal Rumble. Owens then hit a pop-up powerbomb to Big E. Rollins was cheering him on until Bobby Lashley shoved him, and Rollins went forward and ended up colliding with Owens, and that broke up the pin attempt. Lashley caught Owens with a spear in the end to win the match and to win the right to challenge the WWE Championship at the Royal Rumble. We are finally going to get it for the first time ever one-on-one after all these years. Brock Lesnar one-on-one against Bobby Lashley. Main event was very good. The rest of this show was brutal to sit through. And I enjoyed the Priest-Ziggler match as far as, you know, how that finished out there at the end. But for the most part, this show was, as per usual, it was a chore to sit through. And now you guys know why I don't go live every Monday night. I need time to digest this show. That's why I wait until Sunday, usually, on the podcast to talk about Raw. I know it's not ideal to wait 6 days, but you guys are very patient, and that's the way it's been done for years. And so we are going to resume that. This is not going to be an every week thing here, but I figured I wanted to do the call-in show pilot. And before it goes members only, we'll open it up to everybody. And so how could I do a show on a Monday night and not talk about Raw? So I sat through Raw. I watched it live. I took notes. I didn't, you know, Usually I'll give myself an extra day or two, but boy, this show is, it is not good. It's just not good. But the main angle on this show has me hooked. And right now, that's the most important thing. I will take these victories where I can get them. I am excited to see Lashley and Lesnar. I am excited to see if we get interaction on TV in these next few weeks with Paul Heyman and MVP, which I'm sure we will. The timing is perfect, in fact. In fact, that might be one of the reasons why they put Heyman and Lesnar back together. And they said, oh boy, this is going to work out perfectly, because now we can have the dueling promos between the two advocates back and forth on TV. So I am very much a fan of them putting this match together. It's a big-time match with a big-time feel to it, and it's a match that we've never seen before. And how many times can we say that when it comes to WWE, that we're getting a big-time match that we have never seen before? It is not a rematch. It's not a, you know, third, fourth, fifth time. It feels fresh. It may well be the only time we get to see them one-on-one, because I don't think there's going to be a rematch coming out of this. I think this is going to be one and done. And it's not going to go long. It's not going to be a 20-minute clinic that you would see from Kenny Omega or Bryan Danielson or anybody like that, nor should it be. It's like Goldberg and Brock at WrestleMania 33. One of the few things I enjoyed about WrestleMania 33. The Hardy Boys return, which was an incredible moment that night, being there in the building. And Brock and Goldberg went out there, and all it took was 6 minutes, and they had themselves a great match in those 6 minutes. I am looking forward to seeing what we get. I do think that in the end, it will be the big swerve. And I think Heyman costs Brock. Brock wins the Rumble. Brock goes to WrestleMania to challenge Roman Reigns. And then it's just a matter of who challenges Bobby Lashley. Do you do a redemption story with Big E where Big E can get his belt back? I feel bad. You know, Big E just kind of gets shunned to the side and that's it. You know, it's like, thanks for coming. You got your push. On to the next one. Because they don't have anybody else anyway. It's not as if there's somebody waiting in the wings that's even bigger than Big E, and you're kind of putting Big E on the side to give this other person a show. Who is that other person? It's not going to be AJ Styles. I don't think. I think, I wouldn't mind Styles and Edge. But Big E against Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania, maybe that ends up being the match. Doesn't really matter. We all know what the real main event is going to be anyway. It's going to be Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. They're going to get top billing at WrestleMania, whichever night it is. They're going to get top billing at WrestleMania. We already know that. Brock Lesnar was in the back. The show is not over yet. Brock Lesnar, I was kind of hoping he would come out and we'd have our first face-to-face. I guess they're going to save that. He was watching on a monitor in the back, and not the way that these other geeks on this show watch TV, where the TV screen is basically behind them and they're basically, you know, they're watching TV like this, you know, like that. They're going to have a sore neck in the morning when they wake up. He's actually looking into the TV, and Kevin Patrick comes over and he asks Brock if he has a comment on what he just saw. Bobby Lashley now going to the Royal Rumble, and Brock smiles and he says, "Tell Roman Reigns I'll see him Friday on SmackDown." So didn't even say a word about Bobby Lashley. Completely ignored this man, ignored the fact that, you know, he even won that main event. He is still talking about Brock Lesnar, or Roman Reigns, rather. Maybe Bobby Lashley will show up on SmackDown. Give Brock Lesnar a reason to remember his name and to focus on him and not worry about Roman Reigns. Maybe he'll lay out Brock Lesnar at the end of SmackDown on Friday. I said earlier that Owens and Rollins, I wouldn't mind if they kind of did the tag team thing for a while, because, you know, as I look ahead here, you know, two of the opponents for Edge that I would be most interested in seeing him in the ring with at WrestleMania would either be AJ Styles or Kevin Owens. And I would love to see it. But I think the Owens and Rollins thing has this little alliance of theirs. I think it has more mileage. The tag team division is so ravaged. As I look ahead to WrestleMania, I think the tag team title match that makes the most sense for WrestleMania this year on the Raw side is Randy Orton and Matt Riddle against Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. So keep that in mind, because that may well be the tag team title match that they're building to at WrestleMania this year. I did get a Twitter poll up for Raw, and this poll looks very different. As you can see, than a lot of the usual polls that we see when I put them up. Even for SmackDown, I'm not just talking AEW, but even for SmackDown, and usually the numbers are pretty good, but this is Raw. So you get roughly 35% thumbs up, a 33% thumbs in the middle, 31.7% thumbs down. And so if you would like to vote, the place to go, if you are new here and don't know where to go, it is at Solomonster on Twitter. At Solomonster is the place where you can vote in all of these Twitter polls. So for those of you who tuned in late, I know it's weird to see me on a Monday night. Usually I am not doing a live Raw review because I simply cannot put myself through that torture each and every single week. So I don't do it. I do it on Sunday. But the reason I wanted to go live tonight is I wanted to take a few phone calls. We're not going to go all night or anything like this, but I wanted to give people a sense of what to expect going forward. Because one of the new perks I'm adding for channel members is that we are going to do the occasional call-in show. You'll notice that I haven't done phone calls on any of the main streams in a while. I know not everybody is a fan of the phone calls, and sometimes there's just not enough time for them. So I wanted to give people a chance to call in, and I said, well, why not add it as a perk for our channel members, the people who you know support the channel and pay to be a part of the channel because they want to. But I figured this first one, this little free preview here, we would take some calls tonight and do a little pilot episode on what I am calling Better Call Saul. So, if you would like to call in and sound off and let me know your thoughts on Raw tonight and the goings-on in WWE, or whatever it may be, we'll take a bunch of calls here before we wrap up in a little bit. And I am going to read your Super Chats as well. And thank you to those who have sent in Super Chats. I do appreciate it. But there's a number on your screen. 989-282-SOLO. 989-282-7656 is the phone number. The lines are all jammed up. So if you're getting a busy signal, just keep trying. Because eventually you will get in eventually. So let's do this. Let us go and hope this works too. Let us go to 520. You're on the air.
Happy New Year, Saul Monster. I just got over a cold, so hopefully my voice doesn't sound too bad.
Now you sound good. I think everybody can hear you now. So everybody, say hello to Luke. You're the first caller here in 2022.
Nice. Just to let you know, Saul Monster, I have not watched Monday Night Raw in probably over 2 years. After 28, I watched like going into 2019, like around the middle of 2019, I just gave up. I couldn't watch it anymore.
Well, I don't blame you. That's probably part of the reason why you sound so chipper. You've got some enthusiasm in your voice because you haven't been subjected to the last 3 years of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean I don't listen to the sound. I listen to the sound off every week. So you're just a loyal supporter here. Some of the things that are on my mind. Well, first of all, even though I didn't watch the show, I did see a quick review, another title card review of the show from another YouTuber. What the hell is up with Beth Phoenix's hair? She looks like something right out of the 90s. With that hair.
Hey, Spyro fan, thank you for the sub. Yeah, it's weird. I think it's based off some kind of either a TV or a movie character. I saw somebody say that it might be based off of a character from that show Vikings that Edge used to be on. I don't know if that's true or not, or maybe she's going for some kind of movie look. I don't know. It looks weird, but hey, to each their own, right? I mean, that she's going for some kind of look. I don't know what it is, but I think it's based off a character, though.
Okay. I do have a few questions, and one, like, final question will be a fun one for not just you, but hopefully for the chat. But, first of all, who do you think might be the opponent that AJ Styles faces at WrestleMania? AJ Styles is my favorite wrestler. I hope he faces someone good.
Well, I mean, there's still a chance that they could drag this Omos thing out to WrestleMania, and I'm really hoping they don't. But I would love to see him in the ring with Edge. I mean, it's a match that we have not gotten since Edge has come back. They've held off on it. They had a little interaction in the Royal Rumble when Edge came back. If it's me, and I know AJ is basically a babyface now, so it would be babyface against babyface, I would love to see AJ against Edge.
I would, too. You mentioned the tag teams earlier. How you mentioned what four tag teams on Raw? How pathetic of a tag team division?
Yeah, it's a dead division. It's a dead division to the point where I just suggested doing a match that involves Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, who are two single stars. I mean, that tells you right there the state of the tag team division on Monday Night Raw.
Well, part of the problem is that they keep either breaking up all the tag teams, or they find ways to either fire them or seemingly let them go. The first team that comes to mind, and I know he's part of a team now, but the first team that comes to mind is Heavy Machinery. They were over on the main roster. They could have been tag team champions, and they broke up that team for seemingly no reason. All they ended up doing was putting Otis from – they basically moved him from one tag team to another.
Yeah, and that's what they do. I mean, if they had actual plans in mind for some of these people, you know, I might excuse it. I might say, okay, well, they have plans for this person or for that person, but it's never a case where they're breaking up a team and have another plan in mind. It's just, well, let's just break up the team, or, you know, this one guy, we don't have plans for him, but then they don't have plans for the other person either. So we've seen that story play out time and time again. It's just, tag team wrestling is not Vince McMahon's priority. It really never has been.
That's why we keep getting constant New Day versus Uso matches. I'm curious how many matches they have had together on television.
Yeah, I don't
going
know.
Back to like
I'm
the
sure,
last.
I'm sure somebody will count
years.
That up, but I mean, it goes back about 5 years. So you're going to be counting up. I mean, I don't know if you want to count house show matches, but I'm sure it's in the dozens and dozens and dozens of matches at this point. The good thing about that is they always have good matches, but at some point, you know, it's like enough already. Let's move on to, you know, fresh faces here.
Yeah.
What's your other question?
Okay, I'll just get to my final question just real quick. Mm-hmm. I've been watching the Money in the Bank shows lately for some reason. And I was thinking to myself, because technically, I guess now we would consider Money in the Bank one of the big five. And I was thinking to myself, well, we have a Mr. WrestleMania, Mr. SummerSlam, and all those. In terms of the pay-per-view, who is Mr. Money in the Bank? And I came up with three names: John Cena, AJ Styles, and Seth Rollins. All of them have had really good to great showings or important important moments at Money in the Bank. Out of those three, who do you think is Mr. Money in the Bank?
What was the second name you mentioned?
I mentioned John Cena, AJ Styles, and Seth Rollins.
Probably of those, I would go with Rollins. I know Punk won a couple of them, so Punk has had a lot of success in Money in the Bank matches. I probably would go with Rollins of those three.
Yeah, he's had a lot of great matches going back to the pre-show match from 2013 with The Shield and the Usos.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Sheamus has also had a number of good, you know, Money in the Bank showings. Edge obviously has had success there as well. But I don't know, maybe I might go Rollins or Sheamus, probably one of those names.
Cool. So thanks for taking my call, Soul Monster. I hope to be hearing more from you in the future. the only other point that was on my mind was, speaking of firing people, with all the women that they've been firing lately, the last year, it's asinine to me how they can either fire or let go of people like, you know, like Ember Moon and Ruby Soho, Toni Storm, Chelsea Green, Taya Valkyrie, and they keep people like Dana Brooke and Tamina. All due respect to them, but nobody cares about Dana Brooke and Tamina, and or Aaliyah, for example. It's also the reason why the women's division is just so lacking on all brands in WWE.
Yeah.
But I'll be signing off now, and have a good night, Solomon Monster. Peace.
Yeah, you too, Luke. Thanks for the call. You know, it's interesting you mentioned Aaliyah, and you know what's sad? I had completely forgotten about Aaliyah. They called Aaliyah up, which was mind-boggling to me that she was even called up ahead of some of the other people that they have down there. That was ridiculous. But to be fair here, and this is another great example of what they do, they call people up. They did this with Tony Storm. And to correct what he said, Tony Storm was not released. Tony Storm released them. So that was the one difference there. Although they may well have ended up releasing her anyway. It was inevitable Tony Storm was going to get cut anyway. But Aaliyah is called up. And remember that one tag team match that she won on SmackDown? And the fans were cheering and the fans were into it. And she was like, oh my God. It was like she won the main event of WrestleMania. And then we never saw her in the ring again doing anything. We haven't seen her since. Where's she? Where's Aaliyah? She vanished. This is the same situation playing out that we saw with Tony Storm. And I was joking about Tony Storm putting out some kind of like a police, notification or something for a missing person. Where is Aaliyah? They call these people up, they give them a win, and then they disappear. And so that win is completely negated because they don't have any plans when they call these people up. They just call them up and then they get bored and they lose interest and it's on to the next one. You know, Ember Moon tweeted a little bit earlier. She's very excited. She says, free in 30 days. So one more month and she's going to be free. Athena will rise again. Where she'll end up, nobody knows. But whoever, signs her, she's going to be a fine addition to someone's women's division. But she's counting down the days. Only 30 days away from Ember Moon becoming a free agent. Let's go to 714.
Hey, yo,
who am I talking to?
I just want to make sure if you can hear me.
I can hear you.
It's Chris Manson. Chris Manson, sound off legend for 8 months.
Hey, Chris Manson, what's going on, Chris?
So, let's see. I watched the opening segment with Heyman, a little bit of Otis, because he's my thick king, and that's obvious. Women's segment. And then I got bored. I started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's pretty fire. And then I got to the main event, and I counted on you to fill me in on the rest, which has become a weekly occurrence, at least on the WWE side.
Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to fill you in on all the bullshit so you don't have to watch it.
So what I saw was a pretty good show, and we're getting Brock versus Bobby. Give me a slice of that.
Of course it was a pretty good show. You only watched two segments. If I had to watch two segments from Raw, I would watch the two best segments, and I would think it was a good show, too. If you sat through 3 hours of Raw, you wouldn't be saying that right now.
Well, I'm a smart man. What can I say?
You are a smart man. Any other questions for me here on this? You are the second caller here on our first edition of Better Call Saul.
Second the best. With this Alexa Bliss thing. So I feel like she's going to be in a prime spot heading towards WrestleMania because, she's been gone for a while. And, she has that reverse NXT effect where she wasn't really a name in NXT and she went to the main roster and she's like a top star, I would say. Wouldn't you say that?
No, I mean, she's won the Raw, and I think she was the first one to win the Raw women's title and the SmackDown women's title. And since then, I think she's had, combined, she's probably had, what, 5 championships? I mean, yeah, she's always been pushed at a very high level. She obviously has a lot of fans behind the scenes in this company. And I agree. I think they're going to start with these segments next week. Her road back to Raw. They've got something in mind. And who knows? It could be Becky or WrestleMania. But I'm sure whatever it is, clearly they have something big planned for her.
I know that's not the popular popular vote, like Becky versus Alexa, but, Vince has done the unbelievable sometimes. They wanted Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus at WrestleMania 30. Mm-hmm. In a who cares match. So
was that the official stipulation?
I'm just saying Yeah,
I wasn't aware. Is that what it was? Okay. All right. See, we solved that after
a Who Cares match.
After 7 years, we now know it was a Who Cares match at WrestleMania 30. Thank God we didn't get that.
Yeah. So I'm just telling people ahead of time. Like, I know people want Bianca versus Becky, but be prepared for Becky versus Alexa. Whoops.
Yeah. No. I think if not Bianca, that's probably where we end up. So I'm hoping that. We go a different way. Hopefully that does not happen at WrestleMania. Anything else, Chris, before I let you go?
No, you keep on going. I'm done. I'm about to KO. I'm about to watch Wrestle Kingdom tomorrow.
All right. That's right. Wrestle Kingdom is coming up in just a few hours. All right. Well, listen, I'm sure I'll see you in the chat. Yep. I'm going to be streaming a lot this week, so I will see you later, buddy.
5 days in a row. Let's go.
I know. Let's do it. All right. That was our boy, Chris. Now, a lot of you are regulars in the chat recognize Chris's name. He was just on I believe he was with us on Saturday, in fact, for the day one stream. So it's good to hear from him. Let us, we're going to get back to your calls. I know the lines are filled, but I do want to make sure I get to your super chats as well. So let me read through some of these. And I thank everybody who has dropped a note here, including Naif. Al Safar, shout out Naif for the $4.99 super chat. Alex Jimenez, $7 super chat. I cannot call in because I'm at work, but I will still be happy to tune in for this, even if I am a wee bit delayed. James Cooper, Sala Monster still rules. Thank you, sir. Loki Agatho. Sup, my friend, just showing some love to my favorite podcaster. Is it me or did Big E look legitimately gutted tonight? I don't know how many of you saw that picture from the end of the pay-per-view. Somebody who was in the first few rows took a picture of Big E after the main event on Saturday. You can see Brock in the background as he's walking to the back with the title. And Big E is sitting on the ground up against the ring apron. And he just has this look like his dog died. Like, he has such like sad, downtrodden expression on his face that you can't help but feel bad for the guy, because that wasn't supposed to happen. He was supposed to leave day one with the WWE Championship. And all of a sudden, you're getting pinned after one F5 by Brock Lesnar, and he meets the same fate that his boy Kofi Kingston, you know, met a couple of years earlier. So, yeah, I'm sure it really did not sit well with him. But at least we got some real fire from him tonight. Let's see. Rodimus Prime, what's going on? $15 super chat. Dolph Ziggler getting a title shot in 2022 is as unnecessary as Cody Rhodes being the TNT champion. Tyson Neblett, $10 super chat. I can see Bobby Lashley defeat Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble by interference by the Bloodline, and then Lesnar is in the 30-man Rumble match and wins. You must have just listened to my review. You're just parroting what I just said. Either that or great minds think alike. Marco Roman, $4.99. Why are you recapping, Brad? Yeah, I wish I knew who the person was the other night. JJ, have a good night, my friend. He says, I look forward to your streams all the time. Best podcast on YouTube. Thank you, Marco. We got a lot of them coming up this week. Bob the Builder, funniest shoot trio in history. New Jack, Honky Tonk Man, and Iron Sheik. Funniest shoot interview I have ever watched. Did they do one together? So that was a joint shoot interview? You got to tell me where I could find that. I've never seen that one before. Dr. NXT Scorpio, Omos will be a star. You just got to let it play out. That's right. We got to let it play out. You got to let this play out, man. You got to just let it play out. There's a plan. All those people at WWE, they let it play out. They played them right out of the company. They played them right out of a job. And he also says, I had to put closed caption subtitles on my TV just to understand what Vince was saying. Yeah, that would be a funny experiment. I should try that one of these weeks. And then review it on the podcast. What do my closed captions say when I put Vince McMahon on mute during these segments with Austin Theory? Gorilla Glue Expert, with the $4.99. Would you do Owens and Rollins against RK-Bro at Mania, since WWE has no tag teams? Also, will Sammy win Money in the Bank this year and then finally release the documentary? I don't think he's going to win Money in the Bank. I do hope we get the release of that documentary. And yes, I literally just pitched the idea of doing Owens and Rollins against RK-Bro. I think that probably ends up being the tag team title match at WrestleMania. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to 352. You're on the air.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Good. How are you, sir? Who am I talking to?
George. George Morris from Florida.
It's George from Florida. Florida man on the line. What's going on, George?
Man, Jason, I know you don't have much time for me. At least give me 5 minutes. I have a couple questions for you. First of all, would you agree with me when I say that this is the worst WWE's been since 2001?
Since 2001.
I mean, since 2001, to me, it's been just progressively worse.
Yeah, well, if we're talking Raw, I mean, Raw has gotten progressive.
I'm talking about everything. It's just been horrible. I can't take it. I cannot. It's just getting worse every year.
It is getting worse.
Ever since that invasion, I've just been losing interest each and every year. It's just been progressively worse.
Well, you reflect the television ratings. Television ratings have gone down, but yet they're making more money. So there's some kind of imbalance going on here.
Well, what do you want? I've been watching since 1984. This is the worst it's been. Even WCW 99-201 has been better than this these last several years.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's close. That was pretty bad, too. But,
well, not as bad as this. I mean, at least they didn't have the same crap every week, like the same match. I just can't take it. I can't take any more of the Usos and the damn New Day, and I can't take any more of and when they made Jinder Mahal champion, I just wanted to vomit. It gave me really bad diarrhea for 3 days. It was just the worst.
Well, you probably had one of those dirty water dogs off the street from like a cart. I did that once, and I paid the price for it. But listen, so we know all the stuff that you absolutely cannot stand. What is there one thing that you actually really like in wrestling right now that's going on? A wrestler, a storyline, something that's going
no,
on? No. Nothing?
I don't. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't. Even storylines on the Brady Bunch are better than the storylines in WWE right now. I mean, I don't watch AEW. I don't because I don't know why. Because I work up two jobs and I don't have barely time for anything, you know?
Well, you have time for me.
Well, that's because I wanted to have a call you because you were doing this. Otherwise, I'd be asleep. I just wanted to do this to talk to you because I've been listening to you for 10 years.
All right. Well, that's a long time. But listen, I'm glad that you made it through, and I want to get to a few more calls before I fall asleep here. But is there anything else you'd like to kind of get out here before I move on?
The best year in Raw history to me was 98. Every Raw was good, except for those two Saturday ones. September 5th and 12th, well, those were Saturday shows.
And It's funny you mention that because, maybe I'm thinking of a Friday night one, but there was a taped Raw because they were delayed because of tennis, and Vince McMahon did a promo in the ring, and do you remember this promo and the comment he made about Undertaker and Kane? What he called them?
Yeah, I think so.
It was with a P.
They call them two putrid pussies or something like that.
Putrid.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I do remember that. I do.
I still remember
that
moment.
That's probably not on Peacock.
I'm sure it's not on Peacock, but I still remember that to this day. It's funny. That's why when you mentioned those Raws, I said it's funny you mentioned that. I still remember that.
Well, those are bad for that year, but now they would be 100 times better than now. I'm just saying those were the two worst Raws of that year.
Yeah, no, 98.
For me, at least.
98. Was the first year that I actually, and I was watching, I've been watching wrestling a lot longer than that, but 98 was the first year where I attended my first Raw, and I ended up going to three of them that year. And I've said this before, 98, 99, you would go to the buildings and it was always packed. It was always sold out, at least here in New York, you know, Nassau Coliseum or Madison Square Garden or the Meadowlands in New Jersey. And it was like a party atmosphere. Everybody had a sign. You could barely see the ring. Everybody had
signs. Yeah, I know. I remember that.
Yeah, no. And everyone was drinking and everybody was having a good time. So at that age, or if you were a teenager, early 20s, if you were in that kind of demographic, it was like a fucking party every week. So yeah, of course. I mean, it was a lot more fun back then because it was just a different show. That's just, it's just not what the show is now.
The last wrestling show I ever attended was June 3rd, 98. In Indiana. That's why I was living in Maryville, Indiana. It was actually in Hammond. That's the last time I was ever at a wrestling show because they never came to anywhere close to me, usually too much. Well, except Chicago, which was an hour from me, but, you know.
Well, listen, George, it was nice reminiscing here about the good old days, and I'm glad you were able to make it through.
Well, I appreciate you not cutting me off for being so negative. I just had to tell you the truth.
No, I appreciate it. I wouldn't want you to tell me anything else other than the truth, so... You keep speaking the truth, brother.
All right, be safe, man. Appreciate it.
All right, you too. And Happy New Year to George down in Florida, who likes absolutely nothing in wrestling, but called into this wrestling podcast to make me aware of that fact. But he is not the only one who I hear that from. It just makes me very sad, but I am glad that he at least takes the time to listen to me. 347.
Hey, Solo Monster. Yeah, my name is John Vargas. We met before House of Glory. I'm the guy that wore the Crash Bandicoot shirt.
What's going on, John?
I'm actually doing pretty good here. I cannot personally complain. I've personally just been watching wrestling, just like not just Mondays, but also Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and even Fridays as well.
Every day. Wrestling every day of the week.
Going on for almost 20 years. And all goes back to, like, AAA and CMLL and NWA TNA. And also, like, Japanese hardcore wrestling and whatnot. Now, I know the a lot of fans these days would talk about, like, the inside scoop of what's going on with the releases of WWE and all that. But I always have to ask, like, in terms of, like, unique stage sets in pro wrestling, not just in WWE, but WCW, but all pro wrestling, what is your favorite stage set of all time?
I have to go with WrestleMania 33. It was, and maybe just because I was there, I've never seen a set as gorgeous and just... It was just to be there live. It was, first of all, it was gigantic in person. And you had this like ramp. I think it went something like 80 yards or something. It was the crazy long ramp, but with the globe, and there was like a roller coaster that was part of the set. Like it looked incredible. And I've liked a lot of the theme pay-per-view sets the WWE and WWF used to do like 20 years ago. They were actually creative back then, and they had sets for pretty much a different set for every show. Backlash would have those giant scythes that would go back and forth, and
I love those.
Yeah, no, I miss those. The Royal Rumble, you know, Madison Square Garden at 2000 when they had the taxi cab above the entranceway, and you know that entranceway isn't even there anymore. So there've been a lot of them, but I got to go back to WrestleMania 33. As bad as that Mania was, that was the greatest set they've ever constructed.
Like, I personally love the set, too, and when it comes to pro wrestling sets, not of all promotions, that's one of the aspects that I always look forward to back then, even now. It's like, what would stage look like? Like, the props, the stage designs, the looping graphics, the Minitrons, and all that.
Like WCW back in 98 when they would have the giant inflatable pumpkin, you know, for Halloween Havoc, and they would have the tombstones and everything. Just, it's basic, and NXT has done that. And Triple H with NXT, maybe not now with 2.0, but... When Triple H was doing his thing with NXT, yeah, they would have Halloween Havoc and they would have stuff and they would have the gimmicks that were around. And yeah, I always appreciated that about the way that Triple H ran NXT, even bringing back War Games, which I was been calling for that for over 10 years. And it took Triple H doing it on their third brand, but we finally got it back. They still will occasionally put together some kind of clever... creative set pieces. Maybe not now. I guess we'll see. New Year's Evil tomorrow night. We'll see if they do anything creative for that.
I mean, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what it looks like and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And because when it comes to, I mean, I mentioned about Sage Seth before, and here's the thing in pro wrestling. I know the fans want to talk about, like, the business and who they sign, the AEW, WWE. I'm like, can you guys talk about the Sage Seth, how it looked? I mean, image is everything. If you want to be the number one promotion in the world, you got to have elaborate Sage Seth, because otherwise you might have a small little entrance with just like a black curtain and nothing else.
Yeah, I enjoy it when they take the time to actually come up with some creative ideas, but unfortunately, we just don't get too many of that these days.
Unfortunately, due to budgeting, not just WWE, but AEW, they put so much effort on signing a bunch of fucking talents than just creating elaborate stage sets. The only time they can ever do it is at Royal Rumble or SummerSlam or WrestleMania.
Anything else before we move on here? I want to make sure I get to a few other people before we wrap up here.
Just to add something on one little tip. This is just another like a buy or sell. Mm-hmm. No worries, not personally related, but it's like for video game references. Buy or sell Sonic the Hedgehog or Crash Bandicoot?
Sonic, all the way. In fact, it's funny you mentioned that. I saw that on New Year's Day, Lego came out with a replica, I guess, of the Green Hill Zone level of Sonic, and like a Lego set. And I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, I haven't put together a Lego set since I was six, but I'm looking at that going, boy, that's appealing. 'Cause I'm a Sonic guy.
Well, I grew up with Sonic the Hedgehog as well to this day, and also Crash Bandicoot as well. And interesting fact about Crash Bandicoot, when Naughty Dog made the first Crash game, the code name was called Sonic's Ass Game.
I did not know that.
Because I think the one person who worked for Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is the same one that worked for the Crash Bandicoot series, Spyro the Dragon, Jack and Daxter, Ratchet and Clank, and Sly Cooper.
Well, John, look, I'm sure I'll see you. Hopefully, I'll see you at one of the upcoming House of Glory shows. We got plenty of them planned, I'm sure, for this year. So hopefully, we'll bump into each other again.
I hope so too.
All right, be well, my friend, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
All right, you too. That was John in New York. I think we had a super chat come in, so let's just flip on over. And take a look at who it was. It was Bad Luck Jut with the $5 super chat. Hey, Solomonster, I've been listening since 2016. I've enjoyed every review. Buy or sell, mid-2000s Shawn Michaels against current day Lesnar, or Stone Cold versus Roman Reigns. I always wanted a Shawn Michaels Brock Lesnar match, especially Shawn against Lesnar back in the day when Lesnar would do more than he does now. That's the match I would have loved to have seen. Michaels and Lesnar. I got to buy on Michaels and Lesnar. Although, Austin and Roman, I'm sure that would have been good too. But I'm a Shawn Lesnar guy. Let's do a few more. It is, by the way, Wrestle Kingdom begins in a few hours. So I know there's going to be people who are staying up all night. I can't do that, but I will be watching Wrestle Kingdom at some point tomorrow. I will review it, maybe not live, but at some point I do plan on doing a review for night one and night two. I might do them separately, so I will keep you guys informed about what I decide to do. 786.
Yeah. Hey, man. This is Demetrius from Miami.
Hey, Demetrius. What's going on?
I got a question. How long do you think it's going to take Randy Orton to RKO Matt Riddle? And I think WWE is trash, but I still go to events, and I watch AEW. So my question is, how long do you think you're going to take Randy Orton to RKO Matt Riddle, and will they have a match at WrestleMania this year?
No, they're not going to have a match at WrestleMania this year. I think that's too soon. I think they defend their titles. But he is going to, I mean, he'll drop him with an RKO. It's just a matter of, you know, when are they done making money off these guys? Because they're probably selling some merch. And it's not like they really have anything better for them to do at this point. I think we have to wait and see who the champion is coming out of WrestleMania to see at that point if they decide to break them up, get them both back into the singles rank. So it's going to happen. I can't tell you when. I mean, it could be 6 months, 4 months, 9 months. I still think there's juice left in this pairing. They just don't have any other teams. So that's the problem. But no, WrestleMania, I think that's too soon. I don't see it being WrestleMania. 347.
Hello.
Who am I talking to?
Hey, talking to Garfield, man. I just tweeted you my picture with John Cena, man. Huh. I'm a huge fan of yours.
First of all,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I met him in Brooklyn. Yeah, he was filming a Peacemaker at my job. He's a real nice guy, too.
I saw that the red carpet premiere for the Peacemaker has been canceled.
Yeah, because of COVID and stuff. I digress a little bit. What made it so cool was that while he was filming, because I work for Child Protective Services, he actually found one of his toys. It was him and the Randy Orton toy. Mm-hmm. And he's upstairs, like, two floors above him. I said, wouldn't it be cool if he signs it? And he actually signed it for it. He took a photo for it.
That's very cool.
So some lucky kid is going to get that as a Christmas present.
That's very nice.
I don't know if he got it yet. Yeah. So anyway, I have like three questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, how would you book the Lashley and Lesnar? Would you play up their, because they're very, besides the fact their skin color is different, but they're very similar. Both have military backgrounds, both within the Octagon. Do you play up that to like, they're both legitimate towards each other? And
yeah, I do.
Fantasy,
I'll take this one at a time here. Yeah, I absolutely play that up. And think about it. You've got an announcer in Jimmy Smith on commentary who some people may not realize comes from the MMA world. So he's really the perfect person to kind of hype it up and I think break it down and talk a little bit about their MMA credentials. So I would play it up that way. I would play it up also where, you know, Lesnar didn't do anything to Lashley on Saturday. He didn't get one move in on him. And maybe you play the early part of the matchup where, you know, he's frustrating Brock. Brock's trying shit. It's not working. We've never seen somebody do that to Brock before. And then Brock but Brock just kind of snaps and then they just end up having a big man brawl. And then I think it goes where I said earlier that it's going to go. I think it's going to go to a Heyman swerve. I think the Bloodline or Heyman Reigns, you know, they cost him the championship and Lashley wins and then Brock ends up in the Rumble and wins the Rumble.
Yeah, that's now being that they're both, because I remember they did this years ago with Vince, with Goldberg and Brock at the first WrestleMania, that abortion of a match. And what was it at?
20. Madison Square Garden.
20. Do you? Nobody can contain these two in the ring. So, fantasy booking, I would bring Ken Shamrock in. Just somebody that had his hand in the MMA world as a special ref. But that's
not going to happen.
That's just a reach. Yeah, that's a wet dream. Yeah, we're both six.
I don't know what the heat is there, but it's as if he's been blackballed from there. They haven't done a damn thing with him ever since and it's been 20 years. And he's of the impression that I think there's heat with Triple H. But they haven't reached out to him.
Put him over. That's why.
Well,
they kind of had to put him over at the time.
Probably.
Like, yeah, that's what it is.
Probably.
But I'm like,
I don't know what it is, but there's a better chance of me refereeing that match than Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, but I like it. We finally got it. They gave Lashley the right character, to be honest with you. But him and Lana, there's no way he's...
Well, let's forget about that. Let's not even talk about
that. But one last question is, the main event. Do you think that Brock Lesnar is walking out of WrestleMania with the Universal title?
I don't think he's the right guy. I wish there was somebody else who was ready.
Big E.
No, I don't think it's Big E. I don't think it's Big E. I don't think that they have done a good job of really setting anybody else up who looks credible enough. is exciting enough to me to where I look at them and I go, that's the guy. It could have been Big E, but right now it's not. Mm-hmm. There's nobody like that on the roster, even Drew, you know, and we'll see what the deal is with his neck because he may be hurt. But if he's not, and if he's healthy enough to go to WrestleMania, it doesn't look like he may be in the main event unless it's a triple threat. Even Drew doesn't really excite me. You know, there's nobody that I can point to go after. How long has it been? A year and a half? It's going to be 2 years, you know, before Roman even drops the belt, possibly. Who is there on the roster now? Forget NXT. Who is there on the roster now that you look at and go, that should be the guy? Is it Brock? I don't think it should be Brock.
I would say Lashley, but he's tied up in that other storyline.
Yeah.
And I would say if you went with NXT, the one dude I like, I call him Scott Steiner Jr., his nephew.
Oh, Bron Breakker.
Because they literally have a YouTube compilation. I'm going to send it to you, too, where he does everything like his uncle, including the botch, like where he fell off the ring post with Tess.
Yeah, yeah.
They even had that botch where he actually fell off the ring post and he fell off the apron in the midst. And Tess knows over, but like, yeah.
It's too soon for that. I mean, again, I just don't know who that right person is. It could be, it may end up being Brock, but I just wish there was somebody else not named Brock who could credibly be that person, a fresh face, someone who hasn't been in that spot before, who Roman could put over. The one thing I'll say about Roman, and I've enjoyed his work, and I think, you know, he's hit his peak and he's great, is he's not doing anybody any favors with these feuds. So when he beats these people and he moves on, nobody is getting over here. Right, he's not putting anybody over. Nobody is coming out of a feud with Roman Reigns looking better or in a better position than they were when they went into it, I don't think. And
I would have said,
yeah, go ahead.
I would have said Big E. They could have built it up like he's at Raw and just lost his
title. But they didn't. No. Yeah. And I think that ship has sailed. I think that ship has sailed.
Getting tired of him, the Usos beating the crap out of his veteran, and that he just comes and because Big E and Roman do have a friendship. I was watching that John Cena documentary where he bench press like since Japan. But
they had a match at Survivor Series and he lost. So, you know, again, I'm looking for something we haven't seen before. Roman and Brock, we've seen it a whole bunch of times, and I'm still kind of excited for it just because this is a very different Brock than we've seen in the past against Roman. Now he gets to play the babyface for a change. But still, there should be somebody else, and they just haven't done a good job of putting anybody in that position. That's it.
Yeah, it's true. Brock is the face. I can't remember. Last time I think he was face was the day. Yeah, he's terrible at being a face. Now I think they just let him just be a natural.
He's loving life now.
He's loving life, yeah. But yeah, man, thanks for having my phone call, bro, brother. And thanks. I don't want to say not because other people want to get on this line, too. So thanks for having me.
All right, man. Thank you for calling in. That is Garfield from, I think, Florida. Yeah, it's crazy when I think about who could be in that spot. And, you know, somebody mentioned in the chat, Walter. But, yeah, and look, I'm a huge fan of Walter. I just made the comment the other day, if they played their cards right, Walter, a year from now, we should be talking about him as either, if not the top, you know, the number two heel in the entire company on the main roster, outside of Roman Reigns. He should be that high up on the card, and he could certainly go in there and be a dominant force on any show that you put him on. Then it just gets into the question of, do you trust Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard to do right by Walter? And I think we all know the answer to that. So. Unfortunately. Let's do a couple more. And again, the plan going forward, I hope you're enjoying this. You know, we get all kinds of colors here, but the plan going forward is for this to be a members-only perk for all levels, whether you're a superstar or a legend. We have two tiers. And for those of you who are interested, below every video, and I think including this one, if you are not a channel member, there is a white join button. And if you push that, it'll give you all the information, and then you can decide if you want to join, and if so, which tier. But the idea is that this would be a feature that it wouldn't be on any set day, but when we do call-in shows, it would be members only. You know, you could do a quick show, you could do a longer show. But I wanted to do one for everybody because it's been a while since we've taken calls, and hopefully it's something that you guys enjoy. Do hit that like button, by the way, before you leave. I know I haven't mentioned it, but we can get those likes up well over 300 at least. That would be great. So go ahead and do that as I throw it to 702.
Hey, Solid Monster, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Who am I talking to?
Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
I had two questions. The first one is about Kevin Owens. He's been my favorite for a very long time now. And it's just really frustrating to see how they book him. You know, he took the pin tonight, and I know he re-signed, and we probably shouldn't feel bad about how they're using him, but I just can't help it. The guy is just so good, and it just sucks how they use him. So my question is, and I already probably know the answer, but do you think he'll ever be world champion again? I mean, I don't, but, you know.
World champion, like WWE or Universal?
Yep.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I know. It's you know, you were talking about earlier how, like, they've built no one up for Roman and all that. You go back to that feud he had with Roman, like, they booked him, like, so strong. He had him beat all – if you go back and watch those matches, he had him beat all three times. And it just went nowhere. I don't understand it, and it's just really frustrating. My second question is about Lashley. If he does beat Brock for the title, I don't know who faces him at Mania, but it's probably going to be Almost, and he's going to win the championship. That would be so awful.
Oh, my God. You know, I believed that the original idea, it looked like Lashley was about to go babyface and possibly split away from MVP, and then all of this stuff happened. And so I think that even though their main storyline might still be intact, I think it screwed up a bunch of other ones. And I thought we were heading to Lashley as a babyface against Omos, which would have been a terrible match, but it would have been an undercard match. The idea of that being a championship match is horrifying to me.
And I could really see it happening.
I could too. That's the scary part about it. And I think I'm hoping that this stuff, him beating AJ, and if he racks up some more wins, you know, I'm hoping that's not the direction they have in mind, because that would be absolutely just beyond terrible. And shout out to Fawaz, by the way, joining as a Sound Off superstar. I did see you there, buddy. But yeah, no, I think that would be a horrible idea, but I agree. Is it possible? Yes. Unfortunately, I think it is.
Yeah, I just don't know who else there is, really. You look at the roster. I mean, Edge, I guess, but...
Well, there's Big E. I mean, if you want Big E to...
I'm not interested in that at all.
But you want to know what I think the likely option is. I think he's the likeliest option.
Yeah.
Edge and Lashley for the title. Then you almost have to put the title on Edge. And I don't know that they... Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess he hasn't had the championship since he's come back. And they could kind of make that a big deal. You know, Edge winning his first title in however many years. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that match, though. I don't know if that match is the way to go. Because after that, what do you got, right? Damian Priest. I think Damian Priest drops the U.S. title to Austin Theory at WrestleMania.
Yeah, only guy I could think of is Finn Balor, but we know they don't give a shit about him. So,
You know what? I completely forgot about him. How sad is that?
Yeah, that's so hard. He was killing it in NXT, man. It's such a shame. It really is.
Yep.
All right, well, that's all I had. Get to your other callers, and love the show, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Yeah, Kevin Owens just, you know, he's a family man. That's what he said. He did it for his family. He's getting paid very well. And you can't hate on the guy for that. But he knows what he's getting into. He's worked there for 7 years. He spent the majority of his career in WWE. He spent more time in WWE now than he has anywhere else. Ring of Honor. So he's comfortable there. He makes a good living. But he also knows what he was getting when he signed on the dotted line. So he certainly doesn't have any reason to complain if he ends up being upset about his position on the card. We know he's been upset about his position on the card before. He's been frustrated in the past. Now, he really doesn't have any reason to complain about it. 202.
Hey, Solid Monster. This is a Dead Man Walking, Garrett Foster from Washington, D.C.
Garrett, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's been a while, though. Unfortunately, we D.C. got hit by a giant snowstorm, so I've been shoveling snow for the last few hours.
Well, I was better you than me. I was a little worried. It looked like we might have some couple of inches coming to us, and then we dodged a bullet. It was nice and clear today. We haven't had any snow at all this season. I'd like for it to stay that way.
Well, you know, Mother Nature will decide what they want to do, but as far as me calling in, I only watched like about 5 whole minutes of Raw tonight, which was all 3 talking segments with Paul Heyman, Becky, and Miz, which anytime I see the Miz, I just instantly want to change the channel.
Channel-changing heat, yes. Thank you, Mr. J. Have a good night, Mr. J. I want to say goodbye to Mr. J here before he leaves. Go ahead, Garrett.
Shout out to Mr. J as well. But I wanted to bring up a few questions. Number one, do you think that Triple H's in-ring wrestling career is officially over, considering his health condition that he was dealing with and how serious it was, and how unlikely he probably
I think his run as a WrestleMania headliner is the right word, but I mean, in terms of having big matches, yes. I will not ever close the door completely because Shawn Michaels came back after retirement, however many years later it was, for a tag team match. I mean, Triple H is not an invalid. He's not, crippled up in a wheelchair. So I think at some point, if there was a tag team situation or something, I could see him doing that. But do I think we're going to get those WrestleMania Triple H matches anymore? No, I think those days are done. I think he's pretty much done. And even before the heart thing, you know, his last few matches were not that good. He should not be in big matches like that anymore.
I would be worried if I actually did see him wrestle at this point, considering what we've been hearing about him. I just saw his recent interview talking about the NIF program recently, and he looked through it, slimmed down. And I thought, yeah. And, the only type of wrestling I watch on a consistent basis has been Wednesday night. So I was interested by your opinion. Like, if you had to choose, like, the top matches for AEW, if they wanted to fill up, like, a giant stadium for their first stadium show for, like, 60,000, 70,000, what would be your opinion on the top matches would be?
Well, I mean, the way things are going right now, I think that you do Omega and the Bucks against Cole, Fish, and O'Reilly. And that's not going to pack a stadium, but like that would be a big 6-man, maybe with a stipulation, maybe in a cage or something. I think Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa is the biggest women's match right now they could do. You come back to that, you have Thunder Rosa win the women's championship. Cody against... I've pitched the idea for Cody against Hook down the road this year. I think if you build up Hook a little more, because he just started out, but you keep building Hook and he keeps racking up wins, and then Hook is the one to take the TNT title from Cody, I think the place would go nuts for that. So I think you build to that. And then in the main event, I think you either do, it probably wouldn't be until after Hangman has already lost the title. So maybe he loses it, let's say, to MJF. And then if MJF were to lose the championship to CM Punk, if they wanted to put the belt on Punk, let's say, something like that, or Punk against Danielson even. It doesn't even have to be for a title. You could do Punk against Danielson as like a big undercard feature attraction type match. Those are some of the matches that I think they would do, or they would want to do if they wanted to pack a big crowd in there. You could also do Wardlow against MJF after they break up, depending on when they do the breakup. I think that would be a big undercard match. So those are some of the ones I would think of. And tag teams, I mean, my God, there's no shortage of great tag teams they could put in a tag team title match.
Yeah, and I'll also give a special shout out to the first time Four Pillars Clash 4-way with Skavara, Maxwell, Jungle Boy, and Darby as well. That would be a It's for the TNT title, especially. That probably be a hot opener, at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, I'll let you go. I basically fell asleep during your review, so I'm going to try to get ready to sleep for tomorrow.
I hope you didn't fall asleep because of me.
Oh, no. I had the...
What a compliment. I fell asleep during your review. Really, Garrett?
Oh, I'm sorry about that, man. Jesus. I had lunch. I was getting ready for Wrestle Kingdom, so I had to actually watch Japan matches.
That's an acceptable excuse. He was napping so that he would be ready to go for night one of Wrestle Kingdom. That's I'll allow that excuse.
So, well, hopefully I'll be able to call in sooner rather than later again. So, again, just take care and hopefully get ready for your okay. Well, I'm actually ramping up and getting ready for the Royal Rumble pool coming up. You know, it's been 5 years, still haven't won one, but hopefully this will be my year. Hopefully, in my
Rumble pool in the Facebook group. We have a private group on Facebook. Indeed, yes, we do this every year. The Royal Rumble pool. The thread is up. All you have to do is like the post, Zach Hulker. If you're listening, Zach, or watching, I guess. Shout out to Zach. He puts this together every year. All you got to do is like the post, and you are in. And I've had some success in the past where I've had the lucky numbers. I'm hoping I get lucky again this year.
Yeah, by 2019, it was like just a parody for me because I had Charlotte Flair, who was like the runner-up, losing to Becky Lynch. And in the men's Royal Rumble, I had Mustafa Ali, and he got limited by Nia Jax. So in the women's Royal Rumble, my pick got thrown out by the man, and in the men's Royal Rumble, my pick got thrown out by the woman. So it was just a running gag for me.
Well, I think in 2017, when Randy Orton won, I think I had his, whatever number he entered at, I think I had his number. And then I remember there was another year where I was feeling good. I was very excited. And then I see Goldust come out to the ring, and I just said, fuck. I said, that's the end of that. So, yeah, hopefully we'll have better luck this year. But look, Garrett, thank you for calling in, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, sure thing. Take it easy.
All right. That was Dead Man Walking Garrett, who has called into the show before. It is Royal Rumble pool season. Always a very exciting time when the Rumble poolers descend upon the Facebook group, those who are not already in the group. All right, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. It's getting late here. Do two more, and we'll try to make them snappy. So let's not get too long-winded here, but I got to go to my boy in Saudi Arabia. He's calling from all the way overseas.
Hello, Salamansa.
Hello.
It's your Saudi source and the new member of the Salamansa SoundZap family.
It is Fawaz, who just moments ago, in fact, became a SoundZap channel member.
Yeah, yeah.
And the super chat that you sometimes see pop up on screen, I made it a super chat from the last Crown Jewel show right behind Roman Reigns, that giant sound off logo sign in the crowd, was made by Fawaz, and I thank him for that.
Exactly. How are you doing, my friend? It's been so long.
I know, it's been too long. It's going good. It's a very busy week. I was going to say the start of a very busy week, but it's been busy the last few days, so it's only going to get busier. I wasn't planning on going live tonight, but here we are, and we got a lot more wrestling to come. So I'm running on fumes. I need sleep.
Yeah, man. So I got free information details about the Saudi WWE deal, and you will find it very interesting.
Okay.
So the first one, do you remember when I told you I can't watch the Raw and SmackDown live because we don't have a TV, like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, TV
like
deal, yeah. You mentioned that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think Vince is finalizing the deal with the TV Saudi deal. They will announce it soon, which is good for me, but I think they will get a profitable deal, as always.
Okay, well, that's very cool. So if you live over there, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. Who will live in the Middle East? He will find a way to watch the Raw and SmackDown, not NXT, unfortunately. I don't know if it's unfortunately after the new NXT, but
yeah, you're not missing much.
Yeah, exactly. So the second one, I think you will find it interesting. Vince is thinking about hosting a Monday Night Raw for the first time in Saudi, which I can't see them doing, but it's the idea right now. I don't know when exactly. I think it will be in the summer.
Well, that would be surprising. 3 hours of Monday Night Raw in Saudi Arabia. If you want to look for a way to turn the Saudi fans against you, you make them sit through 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
The only way I can see them doing it in the summer, you know? I can't see them doing it right now because of school. It's Monday also.
Well, also the weather, Well, yeah, the weather. I mean, I would think doing a show outdoors in the summer over there would be probably a bad idea.
So the best time is right now, if they are thinking about it.
Well, is there a show? I'm of the impression that there's the next show is next month. Is it next month?
Yeah, the Super Showdown in February. Okay. That's the third one I was going to tell you about. It's for now. It's happening, but because of the new like Corona thing, it may be canceled here. We will find out at the end of this month.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's your update. Because we were wondering about that. I was thinking between now and WrestleMania, what shows do we have? And I said it's about that time of year where they should be announcing something for the next Saudi show, but. Yeah, I guess depending on what's happening with this COVID stuff, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, but it's scheduled, the February and October, it's Super Showdown and Crown Jewel for Saudi. Yeah, it's scheduled, but we will have to wait for the updates from WWE and the entertainment here. But hopefully they will do the show.
Cool.
So, lastly, I got to talk to you about Crown Jewel, man. oh my God. Do you remember when I tweeted you about it and you said I will be watching on Twitter?
Yeah.
I didn't want to tell you that I was in the hot camera. I was. I hope that it will be a surprise. Yeah.
Oh, it was a surprise, and It was a surprise, and I had people telling me, like, I got so many tweets about it with screen captures saying, oh, look at that, right there, like, right on camera. So, like, you couldn't have been in a more perfect spot.
And I wanted to be, like, in the main event. Like, I hold the sun in, like, almost every match, but I wanted to be in the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was perfect, because you had Roman right during his entrance holding the belt up, and then there it is. There's the sound-up sign.
So I think it will be like the last show was like important. They told the story, not like a throwaway Saudi show, right? Which is good. Mm-hmm. Like I hope the going forward they will like tell stories, not do two pay-per-views a month, which is bad. But see, when they did Crown Jewel in October, they built the stories and they had time, you know.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a good pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, man, I was just calling to tell you the updates. And, just to talk with you. Thank you so much, man. Good luck.
Thank you, man. And then hopefully we'll talk again soon. And again, thank you for the sign. That was awesome. And thank you for becoming a channel member.
Oh. And lastly, if they announce the next show, just be aware, I'm not going to see anything else.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. We'll leave it at that. All right. Thank you, man. Take care. Be safe. So that was Fawaz dropping some Saudi scoops. Some Saudi scoops for us here on the show tonight. And let me go to this gentleman here. I know he's been waiting a while. I think this is our buddy Kenneth, I believe, 407.
Yo, Salamasta, going. It's Kennedy, KC the most.
Kennedy, I thought it was Kenneth. Of course, it's Kennedy, KC. What's going on?
Close enough. I'm pretty good, man. I'm at work. You know, I had to call in when you put the show up, man.
Well, I mean, this is more important than anything you might be doing at work. Now, remind everybody what you do here.
I'm a security officer, I work 16 to 19 hours a day sometimes.
Yeah, he's a security officer, but he pays attention to me, and he pays attention to this show. So there could be an armed robbery in progress right now, and it wouldn't matter. Because his focus is on the sound off. And that right there is loyalty and dedication that you will not find anywhere else. So I thank him for that.
Ain't nobody out here but me and the raccoons.
Well, hey, if the raccoons run wild, they're going to have their run of the place because you're tuned into the sound off.
Did I hear that? Just three quick things, man. I know you're tired. I noticed everybody was talking about Brock should win the Rumble. I don't think so. I think that they can get to Reigns and Brock another way. They can have the bloodline cost Lesnar his title. Reigns shows up on, Brock Lesnar shows up on SmackDown and he says, I want Reigns at WrestleMania. Reigns makes him run through the Usos in a handicap match. There you go. Brock versus Reigns. Brock does not need to win.
Yeah, no, Brock doesn't have to. I'm just saying that I think that is the likely scenario, if they want there to be, because there's no obvious men's winner right now. If it was obvious that, somebody else is going to win, that would be one thing. But, there's nobody I can look at and say, okay, this guy's probably going to win the Royal Rumble. Brock winning would be surprising in that he's not even supposed to be in the Rumble match. But Brock doesn't have to. He could even win the Elimination Chamber. I mean, there's other ways that you can get him to Roman Reigns. So you're right. There are other ways, but I think it's going to happen the other way.
I kind of have an idea like what I would like to see. I don't know about anybody else, but I think that this could be a chance to give us, let AJ win and let him challenge Lashley for the title. I think we'll get a damn good match of the both of them. That's a WrestleMania match, AJ versus Lashley for the title. I think that babyface AJ versus heel Lashley would be good.
You could do it. They've got to start getting him going then because, right now it's just he's, jobbing to Omos and, it won't take much to kind of build him back up because he's got the equity. He's a big name. People like him. I could see that and I'm sure it would be a very good match.
Got you. And I got one more thing, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. When you was talking about the Women's Royal Rumble, you're talking about who you thought was going to win. I kind of had a counter to that.
Sasha Banks.
You said Sasha was going to win. Could be, but, my gut tells me, and I'm going to hate myself for saying this, because she's training to come back, and you know how Vince is with Blondes. I think that Lacey Evans is probably going to come back and probably end up winning this thing and challenge Charlotte.
No.
I don't want it, but she is coming back.
No. She is coming back. But so, winning the Royal Rumble, would I be surprised?
But would you?
Yes.
Yeah, WWE hates us, man. So you know how they are.
True. I don't know of any other company that hates their audience like they do. But Lacey Evans winning the Royal Rumble match, I don't, even before she left, it would have surprised me to put her in that position. I don't want to see it either,
but knowing Vince and WWE like we do, she is almost, she is training to come back. She already had her kid, so either that or
she
wants.
She can keep training. Let her train and come back the day after the Royal Rumble. Actually, she's going to have to come back in the Rumble because they don't have enough women. They literally do not have enough women to occupy 30 spots in that match. They're going to have to raid every woman in NXT. They're going to have to raid every living woman who used to work for them. They're going to have to raid random women off the street and pay them and say, hey, you want to wrestle? And they're going to have the wrong idea and think they're being recruited for something else. And then they're going to show up at the WWE show in front of 50,000 people and go, what the fuck did I sign up for here? And they're going to go to the ring anyway. They're going to recruit the old, remember the lesbians from the HLA angle back in 2002? They're going to pick up the phone, John Laurinaitis. John Laurinaitis is going to get on the phone. He's going to call them. He probably has their phone number and their directory and go, hey, is this the lesbian? And he's going to try to get them to come down to be in the Rumble match. They're going to have to find women from somewhere. I mean, they got no choice.
Now, see, be careful when you say that, man. Next thing you know, Nia Jax went up under the Rumble.
We need the lesbians.
And be careful when you say that, because you know how they troll us, man. Next thing you know, Nia Jax comes out there and she wins the Royal Rumble.
Nia Jax, is she there? Are you a lesbian, too? We need you. We need you for the Royal Rumble.
I got a gut feeling. Either, I don't want it to be her, but I just got a gut feeling. I don't know. I'm probably wrong.
All right. Well,
but either
any. Let's move off this women's Royal Rumble nonsense here. Anything else to contribute here before we wrap up?
No. Pretty much.
Although I am enjoying this, I must say I am enjoying this conversation about the lesbians and all that. But let's move on here.
Yeah, I don't have nothing else, man. I don't want to keep you. I know you're tired. Thanks for taking my call, brother.
Sky Genie said Santina returning to the Women's Royal Rumble.
Okay, ban that guy right now.
At this point, Nothing would surprise me. All right, brother.
You have a good night, man. Happy New Year to you, man.
All right, Happy New Year to you too. That was KC DeMost calling us from his job. All right, look, I know the lines are all jammed up. I am gonna have to. I'm going to have to end things here. We are going to do more of these, not the Raw reviews, but we're going to do more of the call-in shows, some smaller ones and stuff. That's going to be reserved for channel members. I'm not sure if I will then later on take those shows and then publish them for everybody, or I'm thinking it's just strictly going to be members only completely, but we'll see. But again, it's just a sample of some of the bonus content that you can get. There's, of course, badges and emojis and things of that nature. One of my resolutions for this month is to get back to the editing and uploading of the classic retro Lost episodes that cannot be found anywhere else. These are the original episodes of the podcast that go all the way back to 2007 and 2008. The first 12 of them are already up. Including the very first episode of SE Scoops Live, which was an old Monday night call-in show that myself and my good buddy Noah Mark used to do many years ago. So the first one we ever did is up for Legends tier members. So anyway, a lot of cool stuff. And if you are so inclined, you can certainly look into that. I'm going to be back with you in less than 24 hours because NXT New Year's Evil is Tuesday night. And when that show is over, I'll be live on YouTube. Wrestle Kingdom is tomorrow and Wednesday. Dynamite on TBS Wednesday night. It's SmackDown and Rampage on Friday. Battle of the Belts on Saturday. Episode 738 on Sunday. Oh my goodness, the work never ends. One last shot of the poll. Look at that. 34, 33, 33. It's like a dead heat. Thumbs up. Thumbs in the middle. Thumbs down. I don't remember the last time I saw that. How even that is. And none of those are good scores. So that about sums up Monday Night Raw right there. All right, I'm out of here. Have yourselves a very good night. Thank you for sticking with me this impromptu review. Yes, as Bash said, remember, AEW on Wednesday is on TBS. It is not on TNT, so do remember that. And I'll be back here tomorrow night, and I hope you are too. Have a good night. Take care, guys.